You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. If you are new to the podcast, that is Ed Stetzer, who is just a happy man because he's back in the States from Germany. That is Ed Stetzer. But be sure to go to newchurches.com if you're brand new, and you can download the State of Church Planting Research Report, Multiplication Movements Tomorrow, and 1,000 Churches, three books, ebooks that Ed and I authored together.
There you go.
There you go. You see how I just plowed through?
I didn't. Why did you plow through? There was some music playing in the background. It was beautiful. So, and we probably have you like in post put another music. So there were like two forms of music playing, were there not?
Yes. And Ed, your national anthem as well. We were playing your national anthem as well.
My national anthem.
Yeah. What is your favorite song anyway? What is it?
My favorite song?
Yeah. Your go-to.
I don't even know. What is my
If you were to choose song? One song Come to describe yourself, to personify who you are, what would it be?
REM, Everybody Hurts. That's really kind of sad. But my favorite song is Come Sail Away.
Okay. You want to sing it for us? You have a good voice.
That's good stuff. Wow. You really want me to sing Come Sail Away?
Yeah.
I don't think I should. Don't we have like copyright restrictions that'll...
Not if it's less than a few seconds.
Oh, is it if we climb aboard our starship and head for the skies? So, you know, I was preaching at Moody Church and I was talking, you know, on Easter, and I said, I was talking about, you know, there's just an innate urge in all of us to know and to be, and God rescues us so we might know him. And I said, it reminds me of a song from the 80s. And I said, I'm the only Moody pastor to ever confess a love for 80s rock and roll. And then I played Show Me the Way by Styx. And I played it on my iPhone during service. And I'm pretty much guessing I'm the only one. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. So, but I'm guessing it was it. So
that's awesome.
I do have a love for 80s rock and roll.
I think D.L. Moody really loved 80s rock and roll too.
Do you? I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. Here you go. A little background music. Here we go. Come Sail Away. Can people hear it? Here we go. I'm sailing. Okay. That's going to leave a mark.
Yeah.
Sailing away. Anyway.
But do you get that? Because D.L. Moody probably did like 80s music.
Just 1880s.
Yeah, 1880s.
I just got that. That was, you know, you're such a jokester.
That is awesome. Oh, that is great. Okay, so let's listen into a question from Don.
We're New Church Plant in Central Florida, and we're looking for outreach ideas for elementary school age children. What ideas do you have to reach that segment of the population?
All right. Well, I have two elementary age school children. Your kids aren't in elementary school anymore, but
true, I'm old.
But it is great. It is a great question. It's a very practical question.
And I think you are going to have a remarkable, wonderful example.
Probably. But I think you, as being the evangelism, the guy who sits in Billy Graham's chair, not just any chair, the distinguished chair of evangelism. I mean, you know everything, Ed.
There is no chair. You know that. I'd have like a regular office. They told me there was a distinguished chair.
You don't have that high back.
Not true.
The high back chair with like spires on top.
I wish I did. That would be cool. That's what a distinguished chair would look like.
Yes.
But no.
Do you have any of those at Moody Church though?
We do. We don't use them, but they are available.
Okay.
You know, actually true. Sometimes we do. We bring out the big chairs, you know, because Moody's a traditional church, you know, so it's most people wear on pulpit, people on the platform wear suits and ties, except me. I do wear some tie. I wear a tie sometimes. So, but we do have chairs like that for the Lord's Supper.
Wait, you wear something else other than a black suit, blue jeans?
I wear a black coat. Black jacket, I do not... No, I do. It's true. I don't. I wear black jeans so that way it feels like they're not jeans. And I wear a black shirt. I often undo the unblock. I untuck it and wear the black blazer. But because I am doing a little different, you know, it's the first time probably someone's not worn a tie in a long, long time. I will often occasionally wear a tie as well. But then I wear the black shirt and I wear the black jeans and I wear the black blazer and I tuck in the shirt. So yes.
Oh, you tuck in the shirt.
Both ways.
Wow.
On days I wear a tie, I tuck in the shirt. It's my gift of ministry to Moody Church that I have learned to love and to appreciate. So that's exactly what I do.
That is awesome. All right. So outreach ideas for elementary age children.
And your answer is?
All right. I'll start. So it's summer. VBS is going on everywhere. And a really simple thing that our church did was print these cards, these little cards inviting people, allowing church members to take, kids to take. We gave it to all the kids in our church for them to give it to their friends. So before school ended, my kids got a stack and they were thinking about who they should invite to VBS, which of their friends in their classes they should invite. So they began handing it out and a few of them did come. So that's great. So when we think about outreach ideas for elementary age children, part of it is yes, events, but how do we teach and engage and help our children understand the importance of evangelism? How do we help them understand the importance of relational evangelism and of developing friendships at their school and not saying no for them, but giving kids the opportunity to invite? Because when children bring their friends to church, you know, and if they're not Christian, and if that happens more than one occasion, then oftentimes the parents will come and check it out as well. If not them, you know, otherwise they might just be dropping them off and leaving, but sometimes else they'll begin hanging out and talking with one another, especially if you have more family oriented events as well. There's a lot of natural evangelism that can take place.
Yeah, I think part of it is teaching kids to do that. And you're right on. Teaching kids to show and share the love of Jesus is going to be a key part of that. I do think that events are going to be key. A lot of times they're going to invite people who are more open. Now, I think it's going to be families by and large. So, for example, you know, and when I've been planting, you know, we've done the pumpkin patch in the fall where we actually have, we actually do the pumpkin thing where people like grab them and collect them, things of that sort. Mm-hmm. We do Easter egg hunts, you know, so we're trying to find ways and find things that we can engage that are children friendly, but also too, you know, and he knows that you have to be careful. You have to be careful to not, there are certain lines in our culture, particularly in English speaking Western world, that you have to be careful so that parents and society don't feel that you've crossed a line engaging their children. Mm. So you want to do things in a way that are, for example, you can't go into most public schools, you know, so that's, and you can't directly evangelize. So, but if you can, in the presence of parents, engage children so that children say to the parents, I really like to go do more with that church. Can we go? You know, I heard Andy Stanley once, he loves to be a church where people, where kids beg their parents to bring them to church. Now, I can recognize that your church doesn't have these, you know, huge facilities that Andy Stanley does, but you can have that kind of relational connectedness, caring, fun, excitement, teaching, and more that people want to engage in it. So I do think there's, you know, to use a term in the church planning world, there's kind of an attractional approach that I think is probably going to be child friendly.
Yeah.
And it's a little harder in our culture to have that more intentional, like as an adult, to seek to engage and incarnationally and build relationships with a child in a way that leads to a gospel sharing opportunity. So I think that's where fellow kids come all. But I would say events, I would say helping kids invite other kids. But I would say that there is, you know, where you have the freedom to do so. For example, let's say there's a process where they join a league or a sport or something of that sort. That's sharing the gospel where that's going to be expected and by the parents who send their kids along. I think that's fine too.
Yeah, definitely. Now, if you remember back to when you were a kid, Ed, and even when I think about like when I was a child,
just a few years ago,
and back when I was a child as well. I mean, I remember I my parents would say bye. I'd say bye. I'd go to the park. I'd go by myself with no cell phone. I'd go into the woods, just hang out with my friends, build stuff, destroy stuff. And we just, and it would just be, I'd just come home for dinner, right? It wasn't, I didn't have a pager. I didn't have a cell phone or any of that. So there's what's the reason I'm bringing this up is because there's a lot of kids these days where that you just wouldn't let your kid go off without a cell phone or without anyone with them, with not being supervised. And as a result, there's this wave of in our culture right now of parents and of individuals saying, hey, what are our kids actually not learning? What are they missing out on by not being able to just have free time and explore? Right. So the whole fact of me being able to go, I mean, how is that affecting our creativity? If it's like, no, you need to be supervised. So here's an iPad, right? Or, you know, you can do some creative game there. Like, what are they missing out by not having a pile of sticks, a fence, and then just being able to throw the, you know,
you,
what I'm talking
about? You sound like an 80-year-old man right now.
No,
can't you just give them some sticks and dirt? Let the kids play. What do they need these fancy electronics for?
No, but you know what I'm talking about.
My name's Daniel M., and I'm just upset at these youngsters today. These kids.
But it's fascinating.
Get off my lawn and go play with a stick.
It's fascinating, though. It really is, because there's a lot of creativity. There's a lot of stuff, times where I was a kid, I can remember how I just had to invent games. I just had to find ways to pass a couple hours waiting for my parents, and I didn't have a cell phone or anything to play with. Now, the reason I bring that up is because there are places now popping up in city and suburban environments, not rural areas, because there's generally more of a openness to having kids just hang out, especially if you have acres of land. But in city and suburban environments, there are actually people who are opening up shops and opening up their land where you can pay to go. And it's just like you're going on to a farm, or you're going on and you're just hanging out. And then kids can get messy. There's dirt and there's mud, and they can just get messy. Now, what's fascinating about that having now popping up in cities is that what would it look like if you as a church were to maybe leverage that, right? And create these environments where kids can get messy, where you have these painting events where they're throwing paint. You know, it's just super messy stuff that a parent would never let happen in their house because of cleanup. And you're saying, you know, we're going to do it. We're going to have a super messy, it's going to be this, it's going to be that, because kids love that. They love it. They just love getting messy. They love playing with their hands. They love doing that. But a lot of times parents won't even allow or create that environment. So that would be a neat thing to try out, especially in a way to reach out to kids and have kids really enjoy wanting to come out rather than just playing a movie.
I don't even know what that is. What are you saying? I mean, other than get off my lawn and play with sticks in the dirt. What are you, like, they should like open what? What are you saying? Help me to understand.
Okay, so
you got a master's from Fuller. You're a smart guy, but I am not tracking with you.
Okay, so
help me understand.
So just at the basic level, I'm going to make it really simple for you, Ed.
Thank you. I need this.
No, okay, but seriously, just at the basic level of messiness, right? The whole idea of having messy crafts, right? But
mud. You love messy crafts. You want to give people sticks and dirt to play in, but how does that relate to outreach to elementary school children? You'd like open your church up and say, just throw mud? What are you, to help me? I'm simple. I there's, these words are confusing me.
Yeah. So create crafts that are next level, right? That are in your, let's say it's in your children's ministry area, right? Instead of saying, hey, we're going to color these sheets, maybe blow up a huge sheet and say, hey, we're going to throw paint onto this, right?
And when would you do this? Sunday morning service?
Well, it could be, or it could be an outreach. It could be a Wednesday night. It's like, hey, we're going to have craft night, or we're going to have painting night, right? Throwing paint night. And you can have the kids invite their friends and be like, hey, you know what? We're going to have pizza, and then we're just going to throw paint.
Okay. I like this. Okay, now I'm trying. I'm a little slow.
Yeah, so, no. Because no parent would do that, would allow that to happen in their house. Right.
So you're opening up the enjoyable activities. And you could do this during the week. You could have backyard Bible clubs. Yeah. You could have, you know, activities at your church facility. You could engage in ways that allow them to do outrageously fun things. A little different, by the way, than you're giving them a stick and dirt earlier. but let them do outrageously fun things they can't do elsewhere and build. That's good. And that, you know, that can be the kind of thing that, you know, I mentioned the Andy Stanley quote, and some people are like, well, Andy Stanley, so, you know, so big, but that's something that anybody can do. Put a tarp, a canvas on a wall, let kids have fun.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, thanks again, Don, for submitting that question. Be sure to rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, or however else you get the podcast, because it does help other people.
Not rate us personally. Rate our podcast.
Yes, because it does help other people discover us.
I'm not sure how we would do in the ratings, but okay, go ahead.
I think half of our listeners fully tracked with what I said and the other half didn't. But that's
so
okay.
The slow ones were with me. They're like, what is he saying? I just like to give him sticks and dirt. Let him play.
Get off my lawn. No, but there are going to be a portion of our audience, of our listeners, who know exactly what I'm talking about. Because it is popping up. I'm serious. There's a place in Nashville that just popped up. And it's crazy. Like, I can't, how can you pay money to go into that place? Right, but it's because
it's just to do. What do you do with this pop up place in Nashville?
You do nothing. There's dirt. There's a fence. There's sticks. It's literally, here's a supervised area where you just go figure out what you want to do. There's no electronics. I know, and people pay to go to places like that now.
I think you're making this up. No. I don't judge you for making it up, but I think you're making this up.
No, it's not. All right. Well, we will catch you next time.